What's up? I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast,
where we interview successful businessmen and women to let you in on why success doesn't have a single formula to follow.
We also have a little bourbon tasting along the way, because why not?
So guys, please enjoy this episode and let us know your thoughts at Bourbon and Business Podcast on Instagram.
Coming to you from the Bourbon and Business Studios. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast. How you doing this morning, Dakota?
Fantastic, Tyler. How are you?
I'm doing great. Always good to see you.
Likewise.
Well, you want to tell our listeners about our sponsor, the Capital Club?
Yeah. So Capital Club in downtown Jackson is the exclusive spot for all things events, lunches every day, membership pricing, event venues. They have it all. And the best views in Jackson.
For sure, the best views. If you just want to just go down to the Capitol Club, stare out the windows, I mean, that's a great time in itself.
So. Yeah, it's very freeing, you know. Yeah. It almost helps you think, clear your mind a little bit.
And they have great networking opportunities there. They're constantly having events going on, like you said. If you're not a member of the Capitol Club, you need to go online and check out their memberships and join today. Well, you want to introduce our guest to us this morning?
I do. Today, we have special guest Sam Peters, Vice President of Peters Real Estate. Sam, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Glad to have you this morning. And do you want to introduce our bourbon to us? I always let Dakota introduce everything.
So. I know. There's a lot of pressure here.
Yeah, I just lead him into all the hard stuff.
All right, Dakota, what do we have next? Yeah. Today, we have a bottle of Yellowstone Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. This was a gift from a good buddy of mine, Shane Bennett. Shane, shout out to you for giving us this bottle and letting us try it. It's a 109 proof, hand-picked.
So Yellowstone. So does this have anything to do with the Yellowstone TV show?
It's a great question. I have no
based
idea.
Based off just Yellowstone, you know?
I would imagine this was around before the TV show.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. Well, there may be some copyright infringement.
Yeah, it says in 2010.
It was definitely around before the TV show. I'll say it's pretty good whiskey. Pretty good bourbon whiskey. I'm going to have to give it a 7.8.
7.8. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty strong.
And, you know, this is a single barrel, so...
Yes, it is a single barrel.
Yeah, so fancy. So, very good whiskey there.
So, I'm going to keep track with y'all's ratings to make sure that I understand the ratings that were given so that I can come back and I can give my rating towards the end of the program here.
Yeah, so we're not 100% sure if we understand our ratings. So.
That's good.
That is true.
I like to wing things.
That is true.
You'll find out pretty quick.
But we always like to start this off, just kind of give us your story, where you're from, you know, where you grew up, and then how you got into the business that you're in today.
So I was born and raised in Jackson. I grew up, went to Jackson Academy all the way from pre-K all the way through. Maybe a little controversially, I went to Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Started at State, spent 3 semesters there, transferred to Ole Miss, finished out. Maybe saw the light, maybe had at least one person that I went over there to go see. And moved back here after college to go to work for a family business with my dad and my brother, which is Peters Real Estate. We were discussing just kind of briefly here a minute ago. We'll get into it a little bit more, but... married to a girl that I started dating in high school. I still introduce her as Courtney Chin. So if you ever hear me say that, I still refer to her as Courtney Chin, even though we've been together since 1998. And we have 3 kids, Savannah, who is 12 in the 6th grade at JA, Marshall, who is 8 in the 2nd grade at JA, and Milton, who is 20 months now. And he is just wherever he is in any given day.
There you go.
Well, tell us a little bit. So how did you went to college at Ole Miss or State, then Ole Miss, and then you made the transition into the real estate world where you're at now, and you have several things going on. Let our listeners know a little bit about what you got going on as far as businesses.
So, I guess probably best explanation is what is Peters Real Estate. Mm-hmm. Peters Real Estate is what we call a full-service commercial real estate firm, whereas we develop properties, we manage properties, we own properties. And so when I actually first went to school, when I started at State, I was in their management of construction and land management degree. And which most of that is actually probably geared towards the construction side of the world. And so when I transferred over, obviously I got my degree in business and studied, thought about going to law school, and Christmas of my senior year, after taking the LSAT and starting to apply to law schools, told my dad, I've been going to school for 18 years now and I've never liked it. So I will no longer be doing that. So he said, well, you can come back to work for me, but you're going to have to figure out what to do because I don't have a defined role for you. So I came back and kind of just got my feet wet in everything we can do. Started kind of more so in the management side of things, but really learned. It was a fairly easy transition for me because I grew up, my dad started in banking and then he was hired away from the bank to run a real estate development company and then opened his own. So I can remember back from even when I was 6-7 years old, going to meet tenants with my dad, right, going to meet with architects and builders. I was always in the car because at some point my mom had kicked my brother and I out of the house and didn't want to have anything to do with us anymore. So we just went with dad and we were told to be quiet and pay attention.
Little did y'all know that it would come back to be extremely helpful later in life.
Yes, for the most part. We don't do very good at being quiet and we don't do very good at listening, but we do occasionally pay attention.
There you go. That's all it takes sometimes.
Well, what's the outlook for real estate development right now in, I guess, are y'all mainly in the Jackson metro area or?
So yes, we are mainly in the metro Jackson area. We have done stuff outside before, but because we are who we are, I mean, we don't, it's just the three of us in that office, which is pretty unique, but we, it's very easy to kind of take a hands-on approach to things. So we kind of know everything that's going on across the market. So if we are to do something out of the metro area, it takes one or two of us away from our office, which is, that makes it difficult. So we primarily now just focus on the metro area. And specifically, probably Jackson, most of our stuff is more what I would call urban infill redevelopment projects. So if you think about that, one of the first things that we did when I came back to work for my dad was we opened Finder and Corner. Finder and Corner, for those that don't know, that's where Roosters and Basil's are. That was the original wildlife and fisheries building before they moved to their spot now, that it, which is off of Eastover Drive and Lakeland. When they moved out, the bank actually hired us to sell it for the group of people that owned the property. And we decided to buy it, redevelop it. We kind of saw this need for, and it's happening really across the country, that was, yeah, there's still a lot of people moving to the suburbs and they want that life, but there is very much a move back towards a very urban centric. Everything is here. You can walk here. You can play here. You can eat here, work, go to church. Everything that you do is all within this area. And so we kind of started there, and we also have done what is we call Fondren Place Development, which is where Dueling School is and where Bank Plus, and now actually Monday, Jones Walker Law Firm moved into the top two floors there. And then on the other end of the property, we sold a lot to where Trustmark and CDFL are, but we've kind of redeveloped that whole area as well.
Yeah. And so there's a lot going on in the Jackson metro area right now as far as development. So it's a pretty exciting time to be here. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have done a good job over there too. But I wanted to touch on what's the project that you're most proud of, do you think? With your hands in so many different areas, I'm sure there's a lot to pick from. But
yeah, probably the most proud we are, and especially I am, is Fondren Corner. You know, when I was in elementary school and junior high and even high school for that matter, Fondren had really kind of gone, taken a downward trajectory.
Sure.
To where, as my dad knew that I used to go every once in a while, if he heard I was going to Fondren, he knew that I was probably at the recovery room, which meant that I was underage drinking somewhere. But the reason why I say that that project is so special is that it has really, we didn't do anything special. This was just happening, but it has really created a resurgence for that whole area. And a lot of things have grown out of that area. All of the other developments that have happened around, I wouldn't say it was because of anything that we did, but that property kind of lit a fire under people to say, okay, well, we can stay in Jackson. We can move back to Jackson. There are things happening here. There is business and industry. And, you know, I tell people all the time that have moved out to the suburbs or whatever, you do understand the meaning of suburban. It is sub of the urban area. And, you know, there is no thriving Madison, which is incredible, thriving Ridgeland, which is incredible, thriving Flowood, Brandon, Clinton, if there is no strong urban environment. And so that's probably why I would say that I'm most proud of that, because it kind of has served as a catalyst for other people to do things.
Would you say it's almost like a cornerstone right there?
Absolutely.
A foundation of regrowth, maybe?
Yes, I would say some of that, because as soon as we did it, and again, this had nothing to do with us. We didn't have any crystal ball. It was I can still remember when we were all sitting around the dinner table and my dad kind of said, I think we're going to buy it. I watched my mother cry at the dinner table because she was like, you've finally done it. You've ruined us.
But you have lost your mind.
you have lost your mind. But, you know, and in some aspects, if you stay in the real estate industry, at some point, someone is always telling you that you've lost your mind. Certainly, you're not going to bet everything on this. But we saw this happening all across the country. And as most Mississippians reluctantly agree to, we're a little bit behind the times. Things come a little slower in Mississippi. I like to say that we sit back and watch people make mistakes and then we do it perfect. But we saw this happening all over the country, in Birmingham and in Atlanta and Charlotte and all of these, Nashville, all of the, what I call the Southeast, more so of like the Gulf South areas. This was happening. This, and it was coming to Jackson, whether or not we did it or the next person did something. This was happening. This resurgence of a move back to a more urban midtown environment where you can, and again, we were just discussing Fondren Church. You can have a church grow from out of zero and really take on the entire neighborhood, because the neighborhood's like, oh, wow, look at this. It's this amazing church. And the church grows along with the neighborhood. And now, obviously, Fondren Church is much more than just Fondren. You can really watch that just really help ignite a neighborhood.
Yeah, and it's funny how you said, obviously, your dad decided to buy that property. And people are like, oh, you've lost your mind. You know, you've gone crazy. But most people that have been successful in business or people that are visionaries, to most people, their ideas come across on the front end as they've lost their mind. But you talk about this all the time on the podcast. There is risk involved with becoming successful. And that risk typically to most people looks like, oh, you're making a mistake. Like, you need to rethink that. But the people that end up being successful are the ones that say, they have the guts enough to say, no, I know, like, I have a vision for this. I know that this can be successful and I actually do that. And so kudos to your dad for making that choice.
Taking that risk, yeah. So regarding the current real estate market in Jackson, would you say it's on the upside, the downside, or neutral?
Well, I would say we're kind of in a unique environment, and everybody understands it, interest rates and inflation and everything here. But I think what makes the market in Jackson kind of go is Mississippi business is the margins are fairly thin. So, and that's all industries. it makes it difficult when you have interest rates go up in the manner that they have and as quickly as they have. It makes it difficult for some of these properties to work because there's only so much time. I mean, we're sitting in a space here. Someone's paying rent for this space. Let's just say that inflation is 30%. Well, someone walks into y'all tomorrow and says, Tyler, you know, Dakota, y'all's little podcast area here, we're going up on your rent. All your expenses are up 30%. Well, at some point you might be able to take it on, but there is a threshold that crosses where you're like, you know, Tyler, you're looking at Dakota going, this doesn't work anymore.
You know, my garage is open.
So I think that the real estate market in Jackson is still, it's still fine. I wouldn't necessarily say it's on the up, but it certainly isn't on the down. We need some of this inflation and some of this interest rate pressure to ease off a little bit. Because again, just like I was saying, all industries, when you have to borrow money against real estate, those 250 basis points, they matter. And for the people that are owning those, that is money straight out of their pocket.
Especially in commercial real estate, when you're dealing with hundreds of thousands, millions of dollar deals.
That's correct. And, you know, maybe opposed to common belief here, as much money as everybody thinks that real estate developers make, their name is tattooed on a lot of debt. And so all of that interest rate, I mean, that is coming straight out of someone's pocket. And so you have to be able to hold on as long as you can to not take any profits in the midst of a big interest rate environment, or you have to just get downright lucky of betting the market and locking in rates for a long term before they run on you. So as much as the real estate market is cooling off, it's not on a downward trajectory, but we are a few years away from it booming again because some of these projects just financially don't make sense in an environment where interest rates have gone up 2-3%.
Yeah. Do we have any, you know, indication that rates may ease off at some point in the near future, or are you thinking that's a little bit further out than probably a year?
I would say, I mean, again, you know, this is my personal opinion here. If I was a betting man, I probably wouldn't bet on my own opinion,
right?
Because I don't think any of us can pinpoint what is making the market move in the way that it is right now. But I think we're more than a year. I think we've got 18 months to 2 years. We may see a little bit of pullback here within the next year, but it's not going to be a drastic enough pullback to really change anything. You may see it ease back to where we don't put a lot of people out of business, but we're certainly not going to be in an environment in the next 12 months that's going to create new industry. So I think we're probably 2 years out from that time point.
One thing on the, and this would be on the residential side of real estate, and I don't know how much of that y'all touch, but there's been a big surge of out-of-state investors coming in, buying properties here in Mississippi, because obviously a property in Mississippi, you can buy it for a lot cheaper than you can California or New York or wherever else. What do you potentially see that doing, I guess, to our market and having all these out-of-state investors owning all the residential properties in the area?
Well, I think Jackson is maybe a little bit more a specific scenario there than some of the suburban areas, because most of these people are coming into the Jackson area. And I think that it is very important that the neighborhoods and the property owners not restrict a lot of this, but they have to understand what is happening, because, and not that renters are going to make your property values go down, but there is a very big difference if you drive down a street that is 80%+ property owners that take true ownership in their property and they care about what it looks like, how it's upkept and all of that, versus driving down a street that is maybe only 40-50% owners. And I think that the long-term view of Jackson needs to be, we need some of our own people to continue to invest, even if it is renters, because you will take more ownership in your property, and you do, it does affect value. So I think that is probably what's most important on the residential side. And we don't do a tremendous amount of residential. Most of our stuff residential wise is just in a mixed use property. And it's more like apartment style or condos, if you will. But I do see it every day because, like I said, I was born, I was raised here. I will probably die and someone will spread my ashes or bury me or whatever they want to do with my body at some point here in Jackson. My brother lives in Jackson. My dad lives in Jackson. I have told my wife, if it gets to a point where we have to move out of Jackson, we're not moving to the suburbs. We're moving. And I don't want that to happen. And I don't foresee that happening.
Right. Well, and like you said, you know, it's one thing, nothing wrong with, having renters owning, you know, properties, but it's one thing for the investor to say, hey, it's a Jackson company. We own these properties in Jackson. They're driving down those streets every day. They're looking at those properties. It's another thing when you got someone from California that says, hey, I'm buying 50 rental properties in Jackson. Well, how often do you think they're going to drive down that street and look and see what's going on there? I mean, they probably have a property manager, but you know, it's like you said, not the same. It's the difference in owning the property and watching the property.
Well, it's with any business. When you scale, a lot of times that quality goes down, you know. And if you're scaled across a country like that, it's the same thing with, you know, Famous Amos cookies or Sister Schubert rolls and things like that. Like the original recipes, I would have loved to have tried those, you know. But when they scaled it, when investors got a hold of it, the actual quality of the ingredients went down a little bit. There wasn't that same love and care that was taken into every
step. Well, it's just a profit. It's profit at that point.
Yeah, it becomes about the bottom line.
Right. And when you live somewhere else, yes, profit matters. But at the same time, you care a little bit more about how the area looks that you live in.
So, absolutely.
You know, and it's just, that's just the difference. So, well, Dakota, I think it's a good time for a bourbon break.
I do too. And Yellowstone Handpicked Collection, I thought it was great. I thought it was delicious. It's got a real good, strong bourbon taste to it. Good burn to it, too. I'm going to go
8.5.
Okay. Yeah. Now I'm starting to figure out what y'all's rating system is or what it isn't.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You can go as far after the point as you want, too. I've done a couple of, you know, like 8.91 kind of things. So
I love those.
Yeah. Tyler has to average all three of ours together at the very end, too.
Yeah, so. And I promise you it's not going to be accurate. So.
That's okay.
Well, back to the podcast. Give us a lesson that you'd love to tell your younger self, that maybe that something you've learned over the years when you first got in the business, maybe didn't know so much.
I would say to just be patient and to that real estate development is a long game. Yeah, you may have some things that really, you know, bring some income or some wealth really fast. You're going to have some that are very slow. If you are in this, you need to be in this for the long game. This is not for the faint of heart. I mean, there are a lot of things that my dad and brother and my brother and I are signed on for that still have a long time till they come to fruition. So you really have to just root yourself in it and stay in it. This is not for the – Jackson is not a market where you're going to get rich quick through real estate development. There is not a tremendous amount of natural appreciation of value. So you've got to find the right things. And one of the things that I would tell my younger self is that as you go through this business, find the right tenants, fall in love with the right numbers. Don't fall in love with the dream. Don't fall in love with the idea that is way out there. Make sure it works on paper. Make sure you're making sound principal decisions. And then it doesn't matter whether or not you get rich quick or whether it comes later in life. So that would be the one thing that I would tell my younger self. Just stay patient.
Yeah.
Boring is best sometimes, right?
Boring is best.
Yeah. Well, and I like how you put out there, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. I think that that needs to be, you know, taught to a lot of our students that are in business classes and stuff like that. You know, no matter what field of business you're going into, it is not for the faint of heart. It's a roller coaster most days on how things go. And, you know,
absolutely.
You just got to, I guess, as you get older, you learn to roll with it. That's how it is. And as long as you're making good decisions on paper, like you say, at the end, typically works out. But there are failures and things that are going to come along, and you have to have the, I guess, the will to push through those things on a daily basis.
Well, you know, I'm seeing articles all the time now on Gen Z and their opinion of the 8-to-5, 9-to-5 workday, and they all hate it. But they're bucking the system, and they're like, well, I'm just not going to work here. And so hiring managers are really going to have to try to figure this out with businesses all over the country. And like you said, Sam, Mississippi is normally the last one to see some of these trends like this. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out in our own market. But
yeah,
because they're all like, you know, what's important to Gen Z is a lot different than what was important to the baby boomer generation, what was important to Gen X, the millennials, everyone. I mean, they all have different aspirations and things. Millennials all wanted to kind of like hop on board this, you know, well, maybe this job isn't necessarily for me, but I still want to make more money. I want to do this. I want to excel. I want to advance. I want to learn more and I'll grow more. And Gen Z is heavily influenced by the influencer generation of all these people who got rich overnight, it seems like, right?
Yeah.
And they're driving Ferraris and stuff on YouTube. And that's like, they're thinking, why do I have to work a 9-to-5 and take the train to work an hour each way? And now all I have time to do is eat and go to sleep when so-and-so is living their best life on Instagram, you know? Mm-hmm. So this comparison model that these kids have grown up with is going to be very interesting to see how the work field evolves around that.
And let me be clear here. I am fully in the camp of the Gen Zers, if you will, of I do not like an 8-to-5 work environment. Mm-hmm. But I think the difference here is that whether you're working a 40-hour work week in an 8-to-5 environment, or you're working 60 hours over 7 days and you're still responding to emails and texts, whether or not it's 3 a.m. or 3 p.m., I think that is the mentality that has to kind of be re-ingrained into people's thinking is that, and most entrepreneurs see this. The people that own their own business and started their own business see this, is that businesses never end. It never goes away.
Correct.
There are times where I will be up at 3 a.m. because, well, now I'm just getting old and I just wake up in the middle of the night for no reason. But it might also be because I have an 18-month-old. But then there's some times where I'm just up and I'm like, you know what? I never finished that email. I'm going to go ahead and send it now. And my wife has to tell me sometimes, you cannot send an email to some of these people at 3 a.m. But if I don't do it at 3 a.m. when it's hot on my mind, I may not get back to it.
Yeah.
So whether it's 8-to-5 or 60, 70, however many hours it takes to get the job done, I think that is what this new generation of workers that is coming in has got to adopt that mindset.
And their argument, and I think it's valid here, is I can do things way more efficiently than the person who had this job previously. They know the software, they know the technology, they know how to do things differently. And it may appear that it's going to be wrong, but it's not, you know? And so they're like, well, what took you 5 hours? I can do in one. So why should I have to sit here for the rest of the day when all my work is done?
Yeah. Well, and I think
it's a strong argument. I mean, it's compelling.
It is. And I think that you have to contrast the difference in between, do I want a job or do I have a dream and I want to start a business and be a founder? And I think there's a big contrast there. And I would go on a limb and say, as a job, yeah, you may work an 8-to-5, 5 days a week set schedule. But if you own a business, it, like you said, you're going to work more than 40 hours a week. Now, where you get those hours, who knows? It may be on Saturday. It may be on Sunday. You know, you're really on call at that point to your clients, whatever that is. In the environment we live in, with cell phones, with email, people, expect to be able to get in touch with you when they need you. So it makes for a different world than what our parents grew up in. And I think that that's really what you have to decide. If, you know, if you're going into business, what do I want that to look like? Do I want to be attached to my phone? Not that you don't set healthy boundaries. You need those, but at the same time, you're going to work more than 40 hours probably.
Yeah. So, you're absolutely going to work more than 40 hours.
Yeah.
And a lot of business owners have two phones for that very reason. So they can take their cell phone to dinner with their family and be like, I'm just going to shut it off for an hour, you know, and have dinner with my family. And then come back and they've got 100 text messages. And you're like, well, here we go. Back on the grind.
Yeah, on the grind.
I've had the same number since I was, I guess, I don't know when I got a cell phone.
You might
want
to change that.
I guess you'll know if I've made it if I ever get rid of that number. If you call that number and it's disconnected, you'd be like, well, Tyler, I'll probably never get in touch with him again.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when y'all got your cell phones, but I'm old enough to where when I graduated high school, I still had a pager. And I actually miss my pager at times now because it was the ultimate call screener. All I had to say was, Tyler, sorry, I couldn't find a payphone. And I still tell my kids that are at JA now, there used to be a payphone hanging on this wall right here, and you don't even know what that means.
Right. I can remember the payphones as a kid. I think my first cell phone would have been like the little Nokia.
I had a flip phone. I thought it was so cool.
We didn't have any way to access the internet on it. So
but you played plenty of Snake. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. You could play Snake
was the truth. Yeah. Right. That was great.
Man, it's funny how fast things change.
I know.
Well, we're to the point in the podcast. Want to get your rating on the bourbon?
Okay. So I'm going to take one more taste here. I can definitely say that we're somewhere in between a 7.8 and an 8.5. Not having done enough of these at this moment, I'm going to give this a 7.95. I don't think we're quite at an 8.
Okay.
Well, but we're maybe after the third or fourth test here, we may be a little better than Tyler's.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to land for Yellowstone bourbon, single barrel. We're going to go with that.
8.214.
Yeah,
I
right
love
there.
It.
So, I love
that. I think that's pretty accurate.
Good. It is a good bourbon. So go check it out. Shout out to Cheers. Thank you for providing this bottle for us. Oh, actually, Cheers did not provide this bottle. This bottle was provided by
Shane.
But check out Cheers. Cheers is a sponsor of the podcast, and they provide a lot of the bourbon that we have on here, and we do appreciate them. And to all our listeners, go on social media and give us a follow. And however you stream this podcast, give us a rating. And Sam, we always like to give a moment for our guests. Just if someone's looking for a rental space, maybe in the Jackson area, how would they get in touch with y'all to see if y'all have anything available?
So we are Peters Real Estate. We are locally owned and managed, and we are right there in Fondren Corner. We moved in there when we opened the property in 2003. We're currently in Suite 310, but we have moved. This is about the sixth or seventh office we've been in that property. You can reach us at 601-362-8440, or you can find us on the internet at www.petersre.com. And if you have my cell phone number, you have it. And if you don't, we'll leave it that way for now.
And to all our listeners, however you stream this podcast, if you would give us a rating and then give us a follow on social media. And we'll see you next week. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
If you have any feedback or would like to be featured, reach out to us at bourbonandbusinesspodcast@gmail.com.
Or find us on Instagram at bourbonandbusinesspodcast.
Thanks again for listening.
Follow us for more content and info on the next episode.